This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis with the Old Trailblazer riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Got to get up. And we bring you these studies on the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we were looking there in our last study about Jacob, how he sought after that covenant, the birthright of that covenant. And we looked there. We're going to look there again. But before we do, I want to play you one of our radio choir's CD song. And if you'd like them, let me know. I'll send you, quote you a price list on the whole set. We have 9 of them, full-length CDs with many, many good blood songs there. So if you listen and then write me. Did you hear that, my friend? A new name written down in glory. A new name. My name. Old Pendarvis. Old Trailblazer. Your name is there if you know the Lord. I often tell folks here in our service that every believer's name is engraved in the palms of his hands. Oh, my friend. I'm going to be able to see him one day. You will too if you know the Lord. Or if you want to know the Lord. My friend, are you trusting the Lord today? I tell folks, salvation is trusting the Lord. It's not making a decision for Jesus. It's not shaking some preacher's hand. It's not being baptized. It's trusting the Lord, clinging to the Lord day by day, clinging like a clinging vine, my friend. But listen, we're bringing you these studies now on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the faith chapter. And we're taking those characters. Now we're looking at Jacob. And we were looking there in our last study how that Jacob had an old nature just like you and me. Oh, listen. And he wanted that birthright. He did. He wanted that birthright. And we see Jacob fleeing now from his father-in-law in fear after he went there to Jacob at the Laban's house. But when he was overtaken by Laban, he glorified God and gave all the glory and praise to God. Over there in Genesis 31, he slipped and trembled. He didn't know what to do. But listen, his back was against the wall. He glorified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jehovah God, the Lord God, Jehovah. Now, that's the thing I like about individuals, you and others, as I watch your life. Here, I'm privileged to watch the lives I have been for many, many, many years since the Lord called me. I see you tremble. I see our folks trembling. Oftentimes, we have brethren here who lead the prayer meeting for me or go out to the mission places for me. Sometimes I walk up to them and I put my arm around them and say, "Brother, I want you to go to Picayune to preach tonight." And they begin to tremble and shake. "I want you to go to Mobile tonight." They begin to tremble and shake. "I want you to go to Hattiesburg. I want you to go to Jackson. I want you to go to San Benito." Oh, but my friend, I've seen them grow. I've seen them grow in grace. They stumble and mumble just like I did. That's right. When I was first come under this ministry, I was just a young buck, as they say. Didn't have no knowledge. I wasn't saved. Didn't have no religious background whatsoever. But the Lord had touched my heart and given me grace to attend the services. And one night we was having services in one of the homes, and Pastor Shelton always came on a Thursday night because he had service in New Orleans on Wednesday night. We was in this home, Brother Ms. McMurray's home over there in Baton Rouge, and we had about 15 or 20 there. And I was sitting up close on the front row, and I always do, and Pastor Shelton was leading the singing. We always sang three or four songs before he went in the service. And he handed me that songbook and said, "Pendarvis, get up here and lead this singing." I said, "Pastor, I can't. Get up here and lead the singing." Well, I got up there and led the singing. I'm not much of a singer, but I at least selected the pages. And I didn't wave my arms around because I don't know what all that means. But from that day on, I was put in the position, trust the Lord. Come on, trust the Lord. Now he'll save you. Come on now, trust him. He'll trust you to lead the singing. He'll trust you to lead the prayer meeting. He'll trust you to go to the mission places and tell how God saves a sinner. All of those things happened over the years, my friend. That's how we were molded and made, and that's how Jacob was molded. Listen, I see folks trembling, and lips are trembling, dragging the floor. But listen, oh, my friend, but after a while, I see the clouds roll away. The Lord breaks through. Puts you against a wall, and first thing you know, you'll say, "Well, to God be the glory." Then we'll sing that song sometime, "To God be the glory." Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be mourning, and here I am praising the Lord. That's old Jacob. That's the way he was. We see Jacob fleeing from his father-in-law, but backed against the wall, he glorified the Lord. Though Jacob feared Esau and terrified with the thought of meeting him, at the same time, he pled to Jehovah and pled his promises. And you know, the thing I've noticed, God never let Jacob down. Never he did. Never let him down. And I can say truthfully, he never let the old trailblazer down in all of these years since he called me, since he saved me, since he put me in the ministry. I was telling the folks last Sunday, when the Lord called me, he gave me that verse of scripture over there in Exodus. "Certainly I'll be with you. Certainly I'll be with you." I didn't hear a voice. I didn't see a light. I didn't see nothing. But I came across that verse, and the Holy Spirit took that thing home to my heart. He said, "Certainly, I'll be with you." He told Moses that there in the wilderness by the burning bush. And then later on, after he called me into the ministry here, he gave me that other charge. "I charge thee, therefore, preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering." And folks, get on me for preaching the gospel. Folks, get on me for reproving. You know what reprove means, my friend? It means to call your name. Oh, pastor, preacher, evangelist, you got folks sitting in your congregation shacking up. You're going to be held responsible for them. You got to call their number first and then call their name. And if you preach the gospel, they'll either clear up or clear out. That's right. I had a gracious friend in New Orleans, a pastor of a church. And he was in the bookstore one day, and we were talking about those things. And he said, "Look, I had a man sitting on my pulpit committee. and I found out he was shacking up with another man's wife. And he said, I called him up, exposed him, showed him, get out. Get out, get clean, or get out. He got out. Oh, but my friend, listen, you're going to be, Pastor, you're going to be held responsible. You are. You're going to be held responsible. And if you never take a stand for the truth, never take a stand against sin, on that great day before the great white throne judgment, you're going to lead your congregation there, and you're going to be responsible for all of that group. Some of you got 30,000 members, you tell me. Some of you got 10,000 members. A man called me from over around Dallas, Texas, not long ago, and he said, Trailblazer, how many people you got coming to church on a Sunday? I said, oh, we have a handful. Good Sundays, we do. And he said, oh, we got 10,000 members where I go to church. I said, are there any of them getting saved, brother? Are there any of them getting saved? He said, oh, we have 100 decisions every Sunday. I said, I don't ask you how many decisions you have. A lot of folks make decisions, but I asked you if anybody's getting saved. Well, he had to go cut the grass or something. He didn't have time to talk. He didn't talk about the Lord. Didn't talk about the Lord. Like this fella told me, a pastor, he went to the hospital to visit a friend of his, and said when he got there, the man was complaining and murmuring and claiming that his bed was too hard and the nurses were too slow and all. And he finally said to him, said, friend, do you have anything against the Lord? Oh, no, Pastor, I don't have anything against the Lord. He said, well, let's just talk about him then. Can you do that? Can you sit for 15, 20 minutes and talk about the blessed Lord, my friend, without having to go somewhere? Oh, that's a good litmus test, isn't it? That's a good test. See if you're saved. Can you talk about the Lord? That's what Christ's people do. I know you can't do it to the world. You can't. I have friends who go out to the world and they think they can convert folks and all of that stuff, but no, they can't. You might give them your testimony if they'll stand and listen, or you might hand them a tract. And that reminds me, if you'd like to give out tracts, we have thousands and thousands of them here, and we'll be glad to send you. I got a letter from a man this morning, said, Pastor, send me all you can send. Lived in New Orleans. And I said, we'll do it. Told the girl, get them ready. We sent him 200 or 300 at start. And they put them in the hospital, the jail, the nurses station, waiting room, bus depots. I have truckers who stop in the break room and into fuel service before they get fuel. Put them in that break room. One lady called me the other day. She said, Pastor, I had a few. She works at the hospital. Just went to work there. She said, I had a few books in my purse. I put them out and they went like hotcakes. She said, send me 200 more. So I did. I did. But my friend, it's grace to know the Lord. Let me just stop and say, are you saved? Have you ever come to know the Lord? Oh, it's not decisionism. It's not being baptized. It's not shaking the preacher's hand. It's not walking the aisle. It's not praying through. It's not receiving the Holy Spirit. None of those things has anything to do with salvation. Salvation is coming to know the Lord in the forgiveness of sin, trusting the Lord. Come hell or high water, Lord, I'm coming. Coming, Lord. Coming, I'm coming. Some of you folks, would you make that resolve? Lord, I'm coming. Trailblazer said, you'd save me, Lord, if I come to you. Oh, but listen, this is the old Trailblazer broadcast. I've kind of gotten off my subject today, but we'll be back next time looking at old Jacob there. I wish you'd sit down and write me. But let me tell you, go there to our website, radiomission.org, and you can find much information there. Click over there on the left side on the radio broadcaster, and then back on the right side, you'll find the Trailblazer there. You can see about a month's worth of Trailblazer messages there. Some of them have not been aired. Some of them have. But you can click on that and hear it anytime, day or night. And then remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Write me, help me with the broadcast, and especially pray for me. Goodbye, and God bless you.